Kenny Caraway talking dirty during the commercial break. Thank God the kids are back in school and not watching the stream. Goodness gracious.
Sorry, Bruce.
But started an interesting conversation about Zach LaVine that I think we'll have to pick up at some point here during the show. Of course, we're following Schefter's tweets this morning about the Micah Parsons situation. Several teams have spoken to the Dallas Cowboys about a potential Micah Parsons trade. And for the first time, the Cowboys appear willing to at least listen. All right, it hurt me last time we did it. Let's do it again. Well, Nick Bosa to Dallas.
Well,
talk about a match made in heaven. Nick Bosa to Dallas.
Dadgummit, that's the guy I've been trying to get my whole life.
Man, I've been wanting a player like this. He stands for something. And I think you know what I mean. Yeah, like, of course, we're talking about the Cowboys. Like, I don't know if I'm doing a deal with the Green Bay Packers. You talk about hell freezing over to get a deal done with the San Francisco 49ers. Man. And maybe they feel like they're in a better spot with Nick Bosa.
Or at the very least, the difference between the two would be you'd be getting a player of that caliber.
Yeah,
back.
Yeah.
The Packers, I don't think the Packers can give you anything but picks and maybe, you know, a player, a good player.
That's what it feels like most NFL trades are, right? Like picks and players.
You don't get a lot
it's not a
trades.
It's not a Bosa for, Bosa for Parsons.
Let's make
swap.
This the first one.
Please.
Although Micah, oh man, I just want to see the Rams win so bad. I don't want that one to happen.
That's arguably the dumbest thing he's ever said. But.
So that, was it the Eagles? The Eagles. All, everybody in the NFC East are rivals. But the Eagles, if you're a Cowboys fan, go win it for the division.
Yeah, that's pretty. That's
a tough look.
Roger Staubach rolling over in his grave.
Roger Staubach still very much alive?
Is he?
I think
no
so.
No way.
I think so.
I think he is.
I don't think Roger Staubach is dead, is he?
No, yeah, he's with us, I think. I said that matter-of-factly without looking it up, but I think he's
Roger Staubach is with us. Yeah. Jesse killed him off. He's 83 years old. He survived. Man survived COVID, and Jesse out here offing him on a random Thursday.
My fault for assuming, I guess.
Still younger than Mark Levy. Man, I hope I live to 100.
It is crazy that Roger Staubach is 17 years younger than Mark Levy.
Roger Staubach rolling over in his rocking chair, I guess.
Well, as TNT has taught us, the NBA on TNT, you can roll over in your grave while you're still alive.
Troy Aikman rolling over in his grave.
So it's funny when you say Troy. When it's a guy that you're not sure about, it's like, wait a minute. It's not as funny.
It's more funny when I say Alvin Harper.
Yeah, that's funny. God, I haven't heard. Come to think about it, I don't know that Alvin Harper's name was mentioned once in that documentary.
Well, it was mentioned once for sure. Because it was that
wide
damn
receiver?
Play.
Just the plays he made, that was it.
I remember when that. Now, this is just me. This is 12-year-old Kenny talking, not adult Kenny. So, no disrespect. I remember that bum getting on the sidelines talking about, I'm the real 80. I'm the real 80. Boy, Jerry should have smacked the mess out of your ass.
Yeah.
Don't disrespect the GOAT that way. And then Deion came. Deion came over and locked that boy up. 94, Deion locked Alvin Harper up. He said, we done with all that. We're cutting off that water. You remember that, Donnie? Donnie actually younger. He might not remember that at all. Donnie no younger than me. He might not remember it. Drew Down, you remember that?
Donnie also says killing Roger is wild.
Is it though?
Sorry, Donnie.
Drew Down, Guru. Y'all remember Deion came over there and put the clamps on Alvin Harper for talking crazy about the GOAT?
You know this was 31 years ago.
Yeah, I can't wait to get to that episode. I ain't got to that episode yet.
You're never going to get to it. That in episode 4 of The Office, you're never going to get to.
Yeah, we already finished the doc, brother. It's fine. You don't have to watch it.
Like, it's good. We're done. We're never going to talk about it.
We already got the show content out of it.
No, we literally talked to Jason Jones, who wrote about it. It's over.
I'm going
to
bring it up 3 weeks from now.
There's no way you're going to see it in 3 weeks. Football starts in a week.
Football starts
College
tonight.
Football starts tonight.
Boy, I'm watching.
Training camp about
Boise
to be
State,
here.
Boise State, South Florida, Cincinnati, and Nebraska. Your boy, did you see your boy met? Pat Mahomes, your boy, what's his name? Riola?
Dylan Riola.
This guy.
Oh, that's
you're
funny.
Too old for that
now,
man.
Funny.
You get a haircut.
That's funny.
And nah, one thing, if you were 17, you're too old for
that.
Not
my
now,
fault.
Man.
I look like Patrick, but go get a haircut, dude.
I meant to ask you guys, though. Seriously, I don't know nothing about this. Is there a maybe getting chatty house? I don't know. Oh, no. Is there some type of Office reboot thing going on?
Yeah. I saw a clip yesterday. It didn't.
What is this about? Who is it?
It's a spinoff.
It's a spinoff. It's not a reboot.
For Pam?
No, right, don't do that. Like, stop. That's insulting.
Don't disrespect us, man.
Don't do that.
You want to talk about the show? We can.
No, it's fine.
Don't disrespect us.
Yeah, we'll answer your questions, but knock it off. It's a spinoff that I think is Oscar maybe a part of it. Like, I'm not really sure. Oscar's a part of it. It's a big Office house. We voted. Mm. And it's kind of like, I guess we'll see what it is.
No one's really excited
for it, but it's like, all right, we'll look to see what it is.
The clip that came out yesterday, I don't want to say it was pretty funny, but I was like, all right, there's some, maybe they got something.
Oh, they hooked Jesse.
Did you ever watch the British version?
No, I never watched it. I'm going to be nice. No, I never watched it.
I didn't either. My sister swears by it. She says it's hilarious, but I've never watched it. I don't even know when it comes out. When did the clip say when it comes out?
Oh, no, I don't even know. Maybe September? I'm just...
Oh, jeez. That... Oh, well, I guess that's days away.
Shout out. Yeah. Well, so
I was about to say, yeah, it's 3 days away.
It's too far.
Like my man Mark says, first of all, Casey, how dare you?
Yeah, right.
September 4th on Peacock.
It's next week.
All right.
Denzel's movie comes out next week. I think on the 5th. Yeah, that Friday.
So the only person from The Office that's in it is Oscar. Mm. Yeah.
New blood.
And why is Oscar there?
Does Oscar only know paper? Like the only thing? Wasn't Oscar like running for something?
Yeah, he was like a councilman or something like that at the end of The Office. I'm wondering how he made it to here.
Well, I assume they have to tell the story that he lost. Whatever he was trying to do.
They should hit him with like a scandal.
Then
Oscar's just now in the middle of nowhere.
Well, there's a pretty easy scandal. He slept with the senator.
Oh,
we're good.
Oh, my gosh.
You'll get there in, I don't know, the 10th anniversary of D'Lo and Casey.
That season was pretty wild.
By then, it'll be the Kenny Caraway show with D'Lo. And they're like, hey, man, did you, Casey comes in, man, I didn't know Oscar was gay. It's crazy. I had no idea Oscar was gay.
Shout out, Oscar. Shout out to Alfonso, who listens to the show. Big ups to my guy. He tweeted, just me, I guess. They actually have the Niners uniform, like, in regular light. You can see it. They actually look kind of fire.
Yeah, I found it was hard to show it to you during the segment, really, but this is the picture I saw. I don't know what he tagged you in, but this is the picture I saw right there, and that looks pretty.
Yeah, see, he's still got a shadow, though. No, it looks fire, but come on. Compared to, like, let me show you. Compared to this, where, like, all right, regular lighting. Thank you. I can see.
Okay, I see. Yeah, I see.
Everything got to have a shadow.
I see.
But I like them. I like them. They did a good job with them. They'll be wearing these, I think, for 2 years, something like that. I don't know.
I mean, it doesn't even matter. They'll just be like, fine, they won't buy these. Let's just get some new ones. Just make some new ones for them to go buy.
That's it. I was watching some Kings highlights. Actually, I was watching that Zach LaVine thing. And I hope the Kings never get rid of the two-tone. I really like those.
Really?
Yeah, I really like those. That's a good little alternate.
I like Don't Love.
That's a good little alternate.
It's better than that stupid-ass red one they wore that couple years ago.
Everyone, you guys all hate those jerseys, huh?
That red one?
Yeah.
That red one was awful.
That was bad.
Like, what are you doing?
That was bad. That didn't make any sense.
That was terrible.
They did better, though.
They had the in-season. The in-season jersey from last year.
The Sacramento.
Or was that 2 years ago?
The gray one?
With the Kings down the side.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, the throwback to the Royals.
Yeah, I didn't like that one either.
Yeah, I wasn't crazy about that. I like the Sacramento. They brought the Sacramento back, the Page and Mike Bibby joints. last year. We'll see what they do this year.
The 49ers with the red number and the black outline is the best jersey, right? This joint right here. Is that the best jersey?
It's so tough. It's tough because the red jersey, the one that I got the Trey Lance in, that one's fire.
But is that white with black? Is there a black outline or is it just
it's
white?
It's still black outline.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's white number, black outline, yeah.
That jersey's so cool. Do you ever like just want to wear it just for fun, like for 5 minutes or something? Because it's got like, it's like Trey Lance, but like, we just wear this jersey for a little bit.
That's the jersey I want to wear right there.
Woo!
That
woo.
Jersey is
woo. No, that ice. Was, see, I can't. It's
21.
It's too close to tell. I can't tell which one's better. The
21
red or the white.
With the
75
red.
Logo. Oh, by the way, next, when we go to commercial, I got to tell you something.
Okay. Well, sorry. I guess you guys don't get to find out. Steelo and KC, Coach Brendan Marion going to join us about an hour from now here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. What's so funny is Jersey Watch has been going crazy for the last week, and in the end, I'm probably not going to buy one. I'm just going to go, sorry, Aaron, I'm not participating.
Come wear your 1320 jersey.
That's a baseball jersey, isn't it?
Yeah, I was looking for that. Centric. I was looking for that the other day, and I can't find it. Yeah, find it. Somewhere in the house.
Our boss is really, really excited about the start of football season. Like, he's literally telling everyone to go home early so they can prepare to watch football. That's a shoot. Like, he is really excited for the start of the season.
Big football guy.
I guess so.
Like we mentioned earlier, though, you said in the last segment, football starts tonight. Yes, football does. Starts today, 2:30, Boise State and USF. I can't wait. I can't wait. I am hyped. You know that Ohio State Texas game? Once again, my boy Joe Klatt. And I think somebody else was saying it too. They said this may be the biggest season opening game ever.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, the defending champion. And like there is a certain you know, it's like Texas is kind of like the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. They haven't been good for a long time.
But they got an army.
A man. Yeah. And the rich history with that university and the thought of them competing for a national championship, entering the season at number one, the golden boy under center, mm-hmm. like the legacy.
That takes it to another
Manning
level.
Yeah. Quarterback under center against the reigning, defending national champions. Mm. You can't have a better start to a college football season than this.
Yeah. I agree. And like I said, I think Arch takes it to another level. Because Arch is, we talked about it the other day, he's literally been in our lives since he was like 13. And when we found out how good of a quarterback he was, where he was going to go became a question since he was mm-hmm. a freshman
yep.
in high school. Then he decides to go to Texas, and I think I read this right. This is the first time Texas has ever been number one, preseason number one, in
oh,
the
wow.
AP poll, I think, or AP okay. or coaches poll. They've never been preseason ranked number one.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I agree with
that seems
Joel
crazy.
And you and everybody else. Well, you think about when they've been good, and I don't know when the AP poll and all that other stuff started, but they haven't been a number one team in
mm-hmm.
decades,
mm-hmm.
like a generation. Like number one, like this is the best team going into the season. It's been a long, long time.
Well, the AP poll started in 1936. I guess they've just never been the preseason number one.
That's all it is.
Yeah, never been a preseason number one.
Yeah.
Which really means nothing except that your hill to climb isn't as steep. And a little tumble is no big deal.
Right. Or looked at as, oh, this is the best team.
Oh, like, no, for that, sure. Like, but I mean, when the season's over,
right,
the preseason, it doesn't.
No, nobody goes back to the preseason. Ranking.
Unless you run the table. Yeah. Unless you go from preseason number one to national champion, then that's a story.
Right.
And that's going to hold a lot of weight now with the college football playoff being here.
I'm trying to think, has anybody in recent memory done that? Probably Alabama. I'm sure Alabama's probably done it with Saban.
I'm sure Bama probably did it in like a BCS era.
Yeah. Nobody's done it in the playoff era, but Bama might have been like one of the only ones. Georgia, 2 years ago.
Maybe. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Maybe. But it's as much as we look at, like, oh, college football is the same teams all the time, running a table, like you just mentioned, seems pretty rare. Like, it doesn't – at some point, like, maybe you don't start at number one, or, you know, maybe you start at two and you end up being number one 3 weeks in or something like that. Going wire to wire is number one doesn't seem like it happens all the time.
Since the college football playoff started in 2014, one preseason number one has gone on to win the national championship. 2017 Alabama. 4 number one preseason teams have finished runner up in the college football playoff era. Again, this is the last 11. This is not, you know, dating back for forever. This is just in the college football playoff.
Good research by you. That was quick. That was specific. Like, the question was specific, and you found it in 10 seconds.
Well, I hate to say it. That AI stuff can.
Great, we lost Damien. Like, all right. Kenny, this is me and you now.
That's it. This is us being like Snake Plissken in Escape from L.A.
Exactly.
You ever seen Escape from L.A.?
Of course not.
The one you really hadn't seen is Escape from New York. I've never seen that one.
So this is an article. This is not AI. Just two teams that started the season number one in the preseason rankings in the 21st century have gone on to win the national championship. Obviously, we mentioned Alabama in 2017. Please do.
LSU?
It is not LSU. Think closer.
Florida.
And think a while ago.
It wasn't Florida.
2004.
Was that OSU?
It was USC.
Oh, wow. Closer to us. Not
yeah, sorry.
LSU.
Sorry. Sorry. My bad. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah. That's one of them squads right there. That's one of them. Pete had that thing popping. Wow.
Yeah. This is interesting. It has a breakdown, like the BCS era. Preseason number one was Nebraska. They finished eighth. The national champion wound up being Oklahoma. They started at 19th.
Jeez.
You mentioned Florida a second ago. Florida was a preseason number one. They finished third. The national champion, I'm sure everyone remembers, was Miami. They were number two. They started the next season number one. They finished number two because Ohio State won the national title that year.
I was
year.
Just about to say, how are those Miami teams not wire to wire?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't. As good as they were, how did they not start the season at number one the year they won it? And then they were.
So I don't know if I said this. They were two.
Yeah.
It was Florida, Miami. Yep.
Yeah. And then the next year, like you said,
they started number one.
The game was over. Like, they were already, they were at the parade in Coral Gables. And they said, no, actually, there's a flag. Bring them back. What?
Couldn't get it out of his pocket. And it's not my fault.
You know, that reminds me, unfortunately, Jesse.
This is far more interesting than I, like, number ones finishing number threes. This is really interesting. I'll send it to you because we could do the whole show on this. This is fascinating. Like, it's not that college football rankings, preseason rankings don't mean anything. They absolutely do. But it's interesting to see how they shake out and, like, what the number, you know, what the team that winds up winning the national championship, where they were ranked.
Yeah, and it's much like, I would say probably like the, would you say it's like the NFL? And, like, we go in, I say this all the time, that Thursday game, the defending champion plays and whoever they play, and everybody's like, oh, looks like Team X is on their way to repeat. Who's going to stop them? Mm-hmm. And they almost never repeat.
Yeah.
They almost never repeat. Yeah. And that's kind of like how Texas, number one team in the nation. I don't know who's going to beat them. And every year it seems like that team doesn't win the national championship.
Yeah, and you're right. The difference is, at least in this regard, like, is schedule and the way things are scheduled. There's probably, I don't have Texas's schedule in front of me, I can pull up. There's probably only three games you realistically think they're going to lose. one of them is Saturday.
Right.
Like when you, now it doesn't mean still you can't have Appalachian State. Doesn't mean that you can't have a.
Why'd you bring that one
up? Well, it just doesn't mean because it was a great day.
Oh, it was.
It doesn't mean that you can't have, you know, a moment right. in a college football season. It just means you're probably, if you're a preseason number one, two, you're probably not going to lose too many. Mm-hmm. And in college football, it's weird. Like, who did you lose to? Who did they lose to? And. I think this is starting to change a little bit. When in the season did you lose to them?
Mm-hmm.
Because that was always a really big.
Right.
That was always a really big
you
thing.
Lose now. Early, you got time.
Right. You lose late. Now that computers aren't involved and it's a committee, I think they're exercising a little bit more. All right, let's talk through this. Are they really not one of the best teams in the country? Mm-hmm. Are they really not now deserving of one of these playoff spots? How does this all work out? That's kind of started to change a little bit.
They're at a sweet spot right now, I think, with the playoffs. There is talks of – it sounds stupid when you hear it, but there's talks of going to, like, 28. And 28 sounds dumb, but when somebody broke it down, and it's essentially, like, an extra week of what they really are doing – is they're creating play-in games, and they're instead of calling them play-in games, they're just playoff games.
Yeah.
I think they're at a sweet spot, but they've talked about like 24 or 28 or something like that. And it's like, all right,
not a fan. Whatever. Not a fan. I told you this was a rabbit hole that I'm sinking into. Can I read this off to you real quick?
Yeah.
Preseason,
the start of college football tonight. Absolutely.
Preseason number one since 2016. Follow me here. Bama, 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 Clemson. Clemson, Bama, Bama, Georgia, Georgia.
Jesus.
Now, Texas.
Jeez.
Yeah, man.
And those guys, Clemson and Bama, didn't they play, what, like three or four straight years in the national championship game?
Yeah, it was driving people crazy.
Yeah.
And Georgia. In the year, Bama, the preseason number one, finished number two. Finished number one, went wire to wire that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Bama in 2018, finished number two. Clemson finished number two. They lost to LSU that year. Clemson the next year, they finished number three. Who did they lose to? Alabama. Mm. Alabama, preseason number one. They finished number two. Who'd they lose to? Georgia. Bama, preseason number one. They finished number five. Who won the national title? Georgia. Yeah. We'll skip 2013.
No, I'm about to say, who won the...
Georgia, number one. National champion Ohio State. Of course, you start getting the playoff games in there, and it starts to look a little different.
Yeah.
Michigan, I forget, Michigan was preseason number two the year that they won.
Really?
Yeah, they were preseason number two that year. They won their fraudulent title.
It was a real one.
Well, it was a real title. They just stole it.
They didn't steal anything. They beat the hell out of TCU, I think it was. No, who they beat the hell out of? All I remember is the Alabama win. That's
celebrating the Rose Bowl. A TCU victory?
Did we beat that? Yeah, I think we did beat that.
You don't even remember because no one cares.
Who did they beat? I don't remember. I think it was TCU. No, because they had lost to TCU
but
the year before.
You don't even remember. Yeah, this is what a sham.
Washington, that's who they beat. Thank you, Zabo. I knew it was a purple team. I couldn't remember who it was. Penix and Washington. Yeah, to beat the hell out of them.
All-time appearances in AP Top 25 preseason rankings. Ohio State, 72.
I'm about to say, they've got to be at the top.
Oklahoma, 67. USC, 63. So on and so on and so on. Texas at number 6 with 58. Michigan at 54.
You know what that tells me, though? They need to get, man, they need to get football going on the West Coast again.
Mm.
I think that's why now I respect what SC was able to do, because you read that off. That was about, what, 10 years that you just read off. The South dominates.
Yep.
And these boys out here on the West Coast were beating them all.
Yeah.
They were beating them all, and they need that again. I know Washington went a couple years ago. Arizona State had a great year last year, and they're poised for another good season. But, yeah, they got to get that. What's his name? Lincoln Riley better get together. Or he need to go.
Mm.
You're in Los Angeles. It's USC. You can't figure this out this year, or you're gone, buddy.
Yeah, you're right, man. Look, when you open that article, I said it's the South got something to say. As Andre 3000 once told us, the South got something to say.
And they and your boy, they said your boy might be back. I hate this.
Who?
Your boy Dabo. I got people. My boy Joe Clapp predicted him. I think he predicted him to win the whole thing, but I've heard other people like, nah, they Clemson might be back. They got forgot my man's last name. It's like,
so he's adapting, huh?
I guess.
He's decided he was gonna adapt to this new world that he was so against a couple years ago.
I guess.
And when he was getting his ass beat in the yeah. NIL world. Like, nah, it's not so bad now, is it?
Mm.
Dabo. Speaking of NIL, talk of the town, Arch Manning. Projected earnings $6.8 million for 2025. The most valuable college athlete in the country.
Oof.
Second highest earner.
Jeremiah Smith.
Carson Beck. Quarterback at Miami.
Yeah.
$2.5 million.
Mm.
That is a kick in the groin for Carson Beck.
Damn.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. But Arch, I actually thought Arch was closer to 10. I mean, you know, not. I thought he was closer to the 10 million marker than 6.8.
You think,
million.
Are you able to pull up how much he's made? Because he might be at about.
I can try.
A total of 15, maybe. I don't know. Because he's, if it's six this year, it's probably gone up a little bit because he's about to be the starter. But he was getting it in. Financially, before he was even a starter, to get him on campus, I'm sure he had a nice little bank account.
Can't find total earnings. It's going to take me a little bit.
Oh, great. The NFL's taking a break, and now look who's in the chat. What the hell? Talk about college football. Those, now they get in here.
Those spam bots are crazy.
At least they're listening.
Hey, salute. You have to. Just, they're subscribing. You've got to subscribe to be able to comment. Shout out to them. There's this article, Arch Manning's surprising NIL strategy despite $6.8 million in valuation. I can't find his total net worth, but I'm going to just guess this article is about how him and his family are really picky about the deals that he signed. He has deals with Red Bull and Uber, just to name a couple. Mm. I cannot find his total earnings. I'll keep looking at that throughout the day. That'd be interesting to know.
Now, boy, Sark, you got them boys driving Lambos. That's crazy. I remember I seen the video where he had them all lined up. In the parking lot, mm-hmm. of the school offices, like 10 of them. That Texas money different, man. that Texas money is different.
Yeah, not the same. That's one of the most amazing facilities I ever got to see in person.
Oh, you were at the
Yeah, facilities? Someone took me through a tour around Texas and to university and took me into the football building. Mm-hmm. And it's really jarring when you walk in because it looks like the house that Ricky Williams built.
Mm.
Like Ricky Williams, I think, is it Earl Campbell? Mm. Like it's with all due respect to the legend, there's a lot more Ricky Williams than there is Earl Campbell. And of all of the names that have gone there, those are the names that you see the most. Those are the trophies. Schools get replicas, you know, of trophies. Mm. You know, the Tennessee Lady Vols office had, you know, every, you know, Wade player, the all of that stuff is yeah. They get a trophy to display in their university. And man, it was, what's this? Oh, that's Ricky Williams, such and such trophy. Oh, that's Ricky Williams when he broke this. That's Ricky Williams. This here's Earl Campbell. This is Ricky Williams trophy from when he did this. Mm. And just one of the most amazing facilities I ever saw. Man. And they had just built that giant because Jerry World, AT&T had just gone up, so the screens were the thing.
Yeah,
Texas,
they're new. That thing looks crazy.
Yeah, yeah. So the one, and I don't know, they might have even changed it since then because this was 2009, 10.
Oh, yeah, I think they got a new one.
The one that they that put one, up, they the had just put crazy. The new one up,
yeah.
And it was the biggest in college football. That was the thing. This next to AT&T, it wasn't. I don't know if it was AT&T at the time. I remember, but next to what Jerry did, this is the the second biggest in the world.
I remember that,
and it was outside.
Yeah, I remember that one. The one you're talking about when they said that, and that they got a new one.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
That's crazy. Yeah, because that one, the one you're talking about, I was like, yo, these boys ain't playing in college. Mm-hmm. And it just dawned on me. I was like, I think they replaced it like a year ago.
Stepping into a stadium, and this is where I wish like college football fans here in this region got the opportunity to experience it. And this is, no shade at our brothers at Sac State or anything like that. But when you walk into college football stadium like that, like especially like I don't think I ever actually did it at Neyland Stadium, but in Texas it's breathtaking. Like you walk in, it's empty, and you look around and you realize you're where the University of Texas plays football. It's breathtaking. It's amazing.
Those college stadiums, it's like a lot of hollowed ground because they haven't changed their stadium, or they haven't moved, built it. It's like, this is you get in. I can only imagine. I've been to the Coliseum. That's the only big time stadium I've been to. But I go in there, or you go to Texas, you'd be like, you look around. I can only imagine what this looked like when Ricky was doing his thing, when Reggie was running. Like it's crazy to think of some of these stadiums because they're 100-year-old stadiums, like they've seen everything. So, yeah man, I love college football. I love the pageantry of it all, man. Every year around the beginning of August, I'll get the body clock starts going. It's like, all right, let me see what's going on. And that's one thing when I was listening to some of the podcasts I was listening to that is going to change a little bit that I don't like is I'm going to have to familiarize myself with teams every year. Like, it's not going to be, Arch has been here for 3 years. I know who's at Texas. Like, no. Who moved? This guy's here now? Like, where'd he come from? I'm going to have to do that every year. That's what I don't like about it.
I'm sure in your preparation for last night, and I knew it was drastic, but didn't know how drastic. Coach Brendan Marion, the head coach of Sac State football, will join us in a minute. Like, five guys are back?
Yeah. 71 new
players. The whole football team is gone. All of them.
Yeah.
That's except five guys. Those five guys are looking at each other like, hey.
I know you.
Hey. You made it. Crazy.
71 new players.
And that's like, obviously, that's an extreme example. But it's not that extreme. Like, there is changeover year after year after year with transfer portals, NIL deals, unhappy, young men and women, just people like, yeah, this isn't the move for me. And it's why Coach K quit. You know what I mean? It's why Nick Saban quit.
Right.
It's like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Nah. Which is why Bill Belichick getting involved in this world at 73 years old is interesting.
Yeah, you sure you want to do this play?
Like, yeah, this is, let's start here. I don't know what you think this is. It's not. It's absolutely not.
I saw something today.
If you think you're just going to come here and coach football.
Right.
Yeah, that's not how this works anymore.
I saw something today. I think Florida State got like 50-something new players.
Man. Florida State. So. See, that's the thing. Like, what Sac State did, that is extreme. Not that extreme, though. Like, there's changeover, man.
Yeah.
There's changeover, but it's exciting with college football getting underway. I told Katie, I was like, things are going to get a little different on the weekends. Oh, what do you mean? Well, on Saturday, hey, we got to go do this. We got to go do that. We got to do that. I was like, I understand.
Yeah.
But at 9 o'clock in the morning, we're going to sit down for 3 hours and watch Texas and Ohio State.
I watch it.
And to her credit, she was like, oh, great. I'd love to watch that. It's like, okay, good. We'll see how you feel in about 6 weeks. when this becomes the norm for Saturday and Sunday. But
poor Jazz, shout out Jazz, when I tell her, hey, I gotta watch Stanford in Hawaii.
I was gonna say Katie well, can watch different. Ohio State Texas, but is she ready for Ohio State Iowa?
Well, the good news
is she ready for the 10-3 madness of that game.
The good news is I would never make her sit through Ohio State, Iowa. Would
where's Io at, man? Is he hyped for the season?
You know, he called the other day. I didn't get a chance to talk to him because we were here, because he doesn't know what we do for a living. And I haven't had a chance to talk to him, but I'm sure he's pretty excited for Ohio State, Texas.
Yeah. We'll greatest come back. Opening game ever.
Has to be. Yeah. Has to be. If I told you the San Francisco 49ers missed the playoffs, what happened? We'll talk about that. Stilo and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino. Get in on the action. Sky River Casino is the place to play. With 2,100 of the newest slot machines and over 80 table games, sky is the limit at Sky River Casino. Brendan Marion going to be with us coming up here about 30 minutes or so. Coach will be with us as he will. We're planning on every week during Sac State college football season. It was fun talking about college football with everything getting underway tonight. Of course, the big Ohio State-Texas game. Schefter tweeted earlier that the Cowboys are at the very least listening to calls that involve Micah Parsons. He also followed that up with the Cowboys are anxious to get that situation resolved one way or another before next week's game against 1 week from today, the NFL opener against the Philadelphia Eagles. I asked you a question right before we went to commercial break. If I told you the San Francisco 49ers missed the playoffs, what happened?
My first thought is injuries. I think that's the only thing that can – I believe that's the only thing that can derail them from making the playoffs. I think they have the talent throughout that roster. We talked about it on the handoff a little bit. I think you can absolutely survive, worst case scenario, survive your wide receiver situation and the outlook on it. A lot of that has to go with what Jesse have talked about, what Kyle talked about, is Brock Purdy. And I believe in Brock Purdy. I believe that he can, once again, worst case scenario, have you maintain. In a perfect world, he might have the people around you elevate. So I don't see a scenario. There's too much top end talent on this team that if they stay healthy, they're in a situation where they're not making the playoffs. That means you're below 500 pretty much, you know, because I even think a wild card, you could, there might have been, I'll look, but there might have been a wild card last year that got in at 9-8. Like, you can, this team got enough talent where you can do that.
What if Brock Purdy takes no step forward and is the same quarterback he was last season?
I still think you can get to the playoffs. Brock Purdy, he wasn't – I don't think he was a problem last year. Not saying that's what you're saying.
No, yeah, yeah. But just no step forward is just the same quarterback now.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things that was an issue from time to time with him last year was trying to do too much. He talked about it in that interview with Albert Breer, but trying to do too much. And if he can calm down on that a little bit, I think that'll, his production and how he plays and the way he sees the field, I think is good enough as is. If he stayed the same, if he didn't elevate, to be good with a healthy group. You know what I mean? So
quick follow up. No team with a record worse than 10-7 got into the playoffs last year.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. Last year in 15 games, Brock Purdy, 38-64 when you talk about yardage. 20 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. QBR.
That ratio has to change, right? 20-13?
Yeah, I'd probably want the touchdowns to elevate by maybe 3-5, the interceptions to decrease by 3-5. And I think that also goes into the mentality where, like he spoke about, he felt like he had to do so much. He had to do everything. I think one of the things he said was losing in the Super Bowl, he wanted to get back. It's like, all right, let's get back. And with injuries and with things that were going on, he felt like he had to press a little bit. And he had a fine season. Like, I thought a season was a good season. there were games where he didn't play well, and he was loose with the ball, and he turned it over. And if he can eliminate those games and just be solid, I think he's fine. Like I said, outside of injury, I think the wide receiver room is okay. The running back room looks great. Offensive line is okay. QB's okay. Your defensive line
running back
better.
Room looks great.
Yeah, McCaffrey and Robinson.
Okay.
Running back room look great. If you get Garrido in there as your third running back, if he stays healthy, yeah, running back room is official.
Okay.
D-line will be better. Linebackers will be borderline great this year with Fred Warner. D-Winters looks great. And if you're able to get anything out of the rookie Nick Martin, we're cooking at the linebacker position. Secondaries where I got a little bit of concern. They're young in the secondary. I don't know if they have a bona fide number two cornerback, Renardo Green. I like him, but he's been a little shaky this training camp. So I want to see something from him. The safeties, I like what I see, but they're young. So I got to see them in a game situation. So I'm really stuck on what Kyle Shanahan said a couple weeks ago, where they were a good team. Essentially said, I think we're a good team. I think the plan is to get better as the season goes along. And if we get better with this young group as the season goes along and we're able to get into the playoffs with this group, he's like, basically, I'll feel good with that. I'll take my chances with that. Mm-hmm. And that's how I look at it, too. They also have, I think, I'm going to say four or five of their first nine games on the road.
Okay.
So that's always something you got to look at, too. You're starting out on the road so early with a young group. I'm talking about these guys being young, the secondary being young, and trying to learn some things on the fly a little bit. That would be a little bit of a concern, like having to play so many road games with young guys who are finding their footing in the league. But, yeah, to answer your original question, if they didn't make the playoffs, I figure they'd had injury issues like they did last year.
And it would have to be, at least in my estimation, when you factor in the schedule, we're talking injuries to the big dogs. We're not talking about depleted depth charts. We're talking about Brock misses a significant amount of time. Maybe Christian McCaffrey misses a significant amount of time as the same time Brock does. Fred Warner, Trent Williams, are the types of names we're talking about. One, because of how talented this team is. Two, this schedule. This schedule from an appointment viewing standpoint is difficult. Like, I don't know what 49ers game I'm getting up for. I'm really excited about it. It's like, no, sorry, baby, I got to go work. I got to watch 49ers play. Yeah. Like, it's not like, hey, the 49ers are playing, let's go. It's like, no, they're playing the Colts.
Yeah, don't nobody.
They're playing the team that willingly said Daniel Jones is our starting quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, you got Browns, and every team that has a quarterback question, every team that is preparing for Arch Manning is on the 49ers schedule.
Yeah,
like. The 49ers will have a direct impact on who Arch Manning plays for next year. And it's, oh, man. All right. Like, that's, but that's the nature of their schedule, which means you can survive. Hey, Christian McCaffrey's out this game. You could survive. Hey, Brandon Allen's going to start this one because concussion protocol or Brock rolled his ankle, whatever.
Right.
You can survive one-offs, but, man, when you start talking about the 49ers missing the playoffs, the 49ers finishing, we say, at 9-8, yeah, that we're talking catastrophic injuries or near-catastrophic injuries.
And that's not the most outlandish thing to think of with some of their players being older players. Christian McCaffrey being an older guy who has an injury history. George Kittle being an older player. Williams. Trent Williams. You know what I was thinking? I was thinking left tackle, so I was like, L? I was like, his name does not start with an L. Trent Williams being an older player. So that's not inconceivable to think that that may be a concern or an issue. Fred Warner, he's not an older player, but he's played a lot of football. Mm-hmm. He's played through injury in the past. So that's always a concern in football in general. But with a team that has older guys like that, you worry about that for sure. And then, you know, this is what I was going to say to Jesse earlier. I'm not expecting anything at all from Brandon Ayuk. But you brought up that Ohio State-Miami game.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the memories.
Great game.
Till the end. One of the unfortunate memories of that game was Clinton Portis.
Mm-hmm.
Willis McGahee.
Yeah.
And the way he destroyed his knee
yep.
in that game.
Yep. Oh, and, God, that was awful.
Yeah.
So awful.
It's a different position, wide receiver compared to a running back. But he was able to come back and be a really good NFL player.
Frank Gore as well.
Frank Gore tore
both of them.
Yeah. So
I mean, Adrian Peterson won MVP the next year.
He's different.
Legend.
Yeah, he's different. We're not talking about Adrian. That's ridiculous. How do you do? Didn't he come back in the same 12-month span?
Yeah, he tore it. He played like 7 games that year, tore it, and then came back, won MVP.
That's ridiculous. Oh,
can
man.
I point something out? Isn't that the same year Peyton Manning came back with a broken freaking neck?
I'm pretty sure Adrian Peterson took an MVP from Peyton Manning.
He did. And yeah. I think because it was always one of them is going to get the comeback player of the year award, and the other one is going to get the MVP, and Peyton's probably going to get the MVP, and Adrian Peterson will get the comeback player of the year award, and that did not happen.
What did they do? What did they do? They fused his spine or something? Peyton's?
Something like that.
Something crazy. But I talk about all this for...
That sounds like a wrestling thing. Like, no, they fused my spine together so I could go work WrestleMania. Cool.
Seth Rollins. Well,
probably not far off.
Charlie got John Cena to the Royal Rumble that one time.
Well, something got John Cena to the Royal Rumble that time.
Yeah, what the hell was that? The guy ripped his bicep like a week earlier.
Like, John Cena... What is he doing here? How is his arm still intact?
Crazy. But I just think about Brandon Ayuk. And I think about it because I'm not expecting anything from him.
Keep talking. But, I'm scared to do this, but I need to pull up some Adrian Peterson highlights.
You're going to be stuck for a couple of hours.
Oh, my God.
We're talking about a rabbit hole.
Oh, my God.
But
look at his game against the Chargers. I think he ran for like 296 that day.
He crazy.
296 he's still, is insane. Yeah,
still looking at my boy LT though.
But finish your thought.
Still looking.
Man,
at my boy.
You loved it. Why don't you get one of those jerseys?
pull up LT highlights. See what that boy was doing out here.
Hold on, man. This
every
is,
time the
on.
Show talks running backs, we get caught every time.
It's the same three that we always discuss. Barry,
does anyone
want
to take Emmitt Smith? Anyone want Emmitt Smith?
This feels like a great time to bring up O.J. Simpson.
Hey. Maybe we bring it all full circle. You get his jersey for next week.
Oh, no, not doing that.
Oh, the OJ joint.
Not doing that.
Before we dive back into the arm, just Brandon Ayuk, maybe he comes back better than I'm giving him credit for or hoping for. I saw him running routes the other day.
That's tough.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Like, I don't think.
We brought up the running backs, but that's just a completely different position.
Yeah.
The receivers, we've seen way too much, which is it doesn't happen.
And I also don't think if it were to happen, if he were to come back in the best case scenario, I don't think it would be this year. Like, he'll play this year, but I don't think he's going to be impact this year. If he ever got to the point where he's impact, I think it would be next year. Looking at
do
Adrian?
You think – no, actually, you know what they're showing? They're showing the 2012 season, and it started with the injury. And that was, I forgot, that was one of those tough injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse mentioned the 296 that Adrian Peterson has in that game. Do you think Christian McCaffrey has a, like, big game? 296 is crazy. Do you think Christian McCaffrey has big games left in his career?
I think he does, man. I think he
like
does.
Like 200 total yard type games.
I think he does. I look at Christian, and they had the 2023 season where he stayed healthy, played all the way through, was phenomenal, was an MVP candidate and all this other stuff. He comes back the next year dealing with injuries. I think he's got maybe not MVP level. I don't want to say that, but a healthy, super productive, all-pro, Pro Bowl type year. I think.
Oh, my God.
Uh-oh.
Did it his rookie season.
No. The Cowboys are trading Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers.
Hey!
Oh, my God.